Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading is Luke's version of the events of Palm Sunday, Luke 19, 28 to 40. And when he had said these things, he went ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away found it just as he had told them, and they were untying the colt. Its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near already on the way down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" At a tea for officers and their wives, the commanding general of the military base delivered what seemed to be an endless speech, and a young lieutenant grumbled to the woman sitting next to him, said, this airbag, this pompous guy goes on and on. What a slob. And the woman turned to him with her face red in a rage. She said, "Excuse me, lieutenant, do you have any idea who I am?" He said, "No, man," the man fumbled. "I'm the wife of the man that you just said those things about." "Good," said the lieutenant, getting up from his seat. He's saying, "Do you have any idea who I am?" And he said, "No." And so the man said to the woman, to the wife, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "I have no idea." He said, "Great." And he got up and he walked away into the crowd. Do you know who I am? What's going on here in this passage? I almost fumbled that one, but I got through. It appears the whole crowd of people have fallen head over heels in love with Jesus. The people are infatuated as if Jesus was a pop star or some kind of famous YouTube celebrity. Many people spread out their clothes on the road while others spread out branches from the field and the other scriptures that we have about this story. Those in front of him were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." It's hard not to imagine, but it's just kind of this wild kind of almost Woodstocky rock concert kind of environment, right? That's the kind of scene that we're reading about at Palm Sunday. It's the high holidays, and the people were there already to celebrate, and they're already this energy of excitement and partying, and the streets are overflowing as folks are streaming in to Jerusalem for the festival, and Jesus has become the headlining act. He's the star of the show. He's the top of the charts. He's the coming king, the one who's going to reign on David's throne forever. People have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this person to come, and this is the day that he arrives. Jesus will defeat Israel's army with like a rock show-like barrage of pyrotechnics. Everything's going to be all right now because the king has come. It's an ecstatic atmosphere of the crowds of adoring fans. They're taking off their jackets, their cloaks. They're spreading them onto the dirty, dusty road in order for a donkey to carry Jesus into the city. Do you think they ran home grabbing their coat saying, "I'm never going to wash this again. Jesus rode over this"? This is a big deal. This is something you do in the midst of an emotional frenzy. You don't cut down branches off trees and wave them in the streets for just anyone, right? Nobody out there goes down and anybody's coming by and be like, "I'm going to go cut down branches and wave for them." It's not easy to get palm trees. It's not easy to get palms out of palm trees, right? You have to climb up with a knife and cut them down. It's a recipe if you're climbing up a tree with a knife in your mouth. But it's worth it. It's worth it because they're shouting, "Hosanna." Can you hear, anybody who loves Jesus Christ Superstar, right? I was listening to it this morning to get ready. "Hosanna, Hosanna." I won't go through the whole thing. But Hosanna in the Hebrew word mixes its exuberant praise with a prayer that God's going to save God's people and do it immediately, right away. You know, if we stick with this kind of rock star or pop theme for a moment, we can kind of sum up what happens here. What happens quickly to the frenzy and crazed love of the fans. I know for my mom and maybe other people out there, you know, I never stopped hearing about Davy Jones from the Monkees. That was like my mom's big crush, right? And David Cassidy from the Partridge Family and some dude named Leif Garrett. For me in the 80s, it was New Kids on the Block. Not for me, but for other people. They were huge and they were gone. My cousin once wrote, "I heart Justin Timberlake forever" on chalk on the ground. I don't know if she still loves him forever. She's married and has children. But on that first Palm Sunday, a long time ago, the big crowd seemed to fall in love with Jesus. His fans could hardly contain themselves. But it wasn't real love. Real love is steady, it's constant, it's unconditional, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. There's something a bit overblown, bigger than life about infatuation and falling in love. It's like an emotional roller coaster. It's a lot of excitement. It can be fun, but it's short-lived. The ride does come to an abrupt halt. The kind of love that we heap on pop idols is that kind of superficial love. Once the singer becomes, you know, older or their show is canceled or we grow up, our love fades and it's not real love. There's not much about it that's real at all. It was love with an idea. And that's one of the big problems on Palm Sunday. There wasn't a lack of love for Jesus. The problem was that love was the superficial kind. It was smoke and mirrors. It was a vapor, a fog that disappears. Like this morning, looking out, there was a great fog this morning, and then all of a sudden it was gone. It was, and the same thing with this kind of love. It's overblown, and then it's gone. Within a week, this acclaim for Jesus turns to humiliation. It turns to mockery, hatred, and then we end in the cross. Talking about a fickle crowd. So this Palm Sunday, we temper our excitement. We pause to think, do we love God? And what is our love for God like? Is it real or is it this superficial, exciting love? Jesus seeks out love and we're often found by him when things aren't going well. Does this love stick with us when things aren't going our way? When we're facing a crisis, when we're at a crossroads, when we come to the point where the emotional highs the world has to offer aren't real, aren't worth it. Then we finally accept to offer, you know, the love that God has. And we fall in love and we think all of our problems are solved, but it couldn't be further from the truth. As a friend said to me once, the truth, as the Bible says, the truth will set you free, but it will make you miserable. Because it doesn't take care of all the problems. Grace is free, as we, you know, Bible study learned from Dietrich Bonhoeffer over and over again. Grace is free, but not cheap, right? Bible study? All right, yeah, I just want to make sure you are still listening. It comes at a great cost, and it comes at the cost of this Good Friday. We don't have to pay for it, but there's something that we don't want to take for granted either. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple has to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So how important is our faith to us? Is it the most important thing? Jesus did this Easter cross resurrection thing. Is it the most important thing in our life? I know that I've had many times in my life, and I'm sure other people too, where we've had hard times. There are times when we've forgotten whose we are and who we are, and there are times where we turn our back on the things that we think are important, when people turn their backs on us. But when we persevere in our faith through these hardships, through illness, through times when nothing is going our way, we find that Jesus is right there, God is right there with us, and nothing can take that away. That's the real love. Think about it this way. We lose our health, we lose all these other things, but we can't lose God. God will never leave us. God never forsakes us. And for that, we can be thankful even during times of difficulty. And so our relationship with God, it dictates how we treat others, how we treat friends, families, neighbors, strangers. It influences every aspect of our life. And that is true freedom. It's freedom to love even our enemies. It's freedom from self-pity. It's freedom to experience peace amid the storms of life. There's a significant little detail that we often overlook in this story. Jesus sends the two of his disciples to get the colt, which has never been ridden. And Jesus rode in the city on a colt that had never been ridden. It's an unbroken colt. It takes a strong-willed person to ride a donkey, let alone one that's never been ridden before. Anyone who's ever, you know, been riding or roping and seen what usually happens when people sit on animals that have not been used to being ridden, especially in the midst of shouting crowd. Can you imagine everyone's waving their branches and screaming? Most animals would freak out. They would get spooked. So we have a miracle right there on Palm Sunday. It's not as exciting as calming a storm or raising from the dead, but it's significant that Jesus is able to take the wild and chaotic and out of love for us, transform it into manageable and peaceful even. Jesus is able to take what we see as a lost cause or a hopeless situation and turn it into a bright and sunny and gentle day. So instead of being bucked off when he sits on the colt, Jesus rides heroically, peacefully into Jerusalem. Have you ever felt in your life it's a wild ride that's threatening to throw you off? Maybe we still do. And that's what we learn that Jesus' name is not just Jesus, but the Prince of Peace. Who takes care of all those things. That's what we are looking back on today, this superstar, this rock star, this Jesus Christ superstar. Knowing and remembering this is the most important thing for our life. When the crowds cry, Hosanna, they say the right words, but they're missing the point. They have all the right notes, but it's not the correct music. They're excited, they're enthusiastic about Jesus, they're heads over heels about him, but they really will end up rejecting him, calling for his death by the end of the week. Knowing the truth is not the same as doing the truth. We know that in our life. Saying we love Jesus doesn't mean that we necessarily do. Maybe we've seen that bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. Right? Anybody have that one? If you do, no offense. But maybe a better one would be, you love everyone if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Serve if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Humble yourself if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Love your neighbor and your enemy if you love Jesus. Take up your cross if you love Jesus. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus came with a choice. We can stand and get all emotional. We can wave and treat him like we would a pop star, a celebrity, and then watch him pass by and eventually move on to the next fad, the next thing that catches us up in this emotional energy. Or we can follow him and stand with him through the course of this week. It's easy to shout, but it's harder to serve. It's easy to shout, but it's harder to show love. What I love in this passage was that there was a moment, this moment was so great, the incarnation of the eternal love of God, this word of God, this crossroads of forgiveness and redemption, that even if the crowds were silent, the stones would call out, keeping the praise going. Someone once said, everyone wants to go to Rome to see where St. Peter's buried, but nobody wants to live like him. Palm Sunday is a great day to think about what it really means to welcome and celebrate Jesus, what it really means to praise God. Jesus is the King of Kings and the King of our hearts, and that is, it's intense and it's personal. The God of the universe lives inside of us, and he comes in bringing peace, transforms us. And the more we love Jesus, really love God, the more we will love each other, love the people in our life, be able to love our enemies and live our lives in a way that's redemptive and powerful. And this is a love that doesn't disappear and doesn't fade away. It lasts forever. So Jesus' entry into Jerusalem among the palm branches helps us fight against our tendency towards superficial love. Instead, we are given a love that withstands and overcomes even the darkest of day. As the 23rd Psalm says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is a love that is greater than all of those things. And we come out victorious a week from now on the other side. Amen. Amen.